that doggy in the window, the one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Putting the scat in eschatology. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
To California.
Well, folks, back like a recurring nightmare, like a bad rash. One of my favorite people in the entire world, Kathy Lee Gifford, joins us. Hello, Kathy Lee Gifford.
How are you, my friend?
Doing very, very well. And thank you for joining us. I know you're in the middle of a crazy day over there. What is going on with this new production? And it's not really a new production, but it is a fine-tuned machine.
Well, it's getting there. After 12 years, we finally opened tonight on the Great White Way called Broadway at the Neil Simon Theater. Our first preview is in about a few hours. We're just in intermission right now, Drew, for a run-through, and it looks good. We just finished the first act. It's looking good. I mean, you know, we have the next 3 weeks for a process called previews, where you get to hone your show, you get to change it, you get to move things around. And more importantly, I get to see it in front of an audience every night. And if people are crying where they're supposed to cry, laughing where they're supposed to cry, and standing up and cheering at the end, everything's good. If they're not, I spend the rest of the night, all night, rewriting,
yeah.
Which is going to be interesting because I'll be doing the Today Show as well. So, you know, God gives you the strength. He will give me just what I need for the day at hand and a fresh cup of mercy the next day.
Well, Kathy Lee, how different is it from the production I first saw in White Plains, New York, a number of years ago?
Drew, you won't even recognize it. Obviously, it's just about the same woman, Amy Semple McPherson, but now it's called Scandalous. The life and trials of Amy Semple McPherson. And it's gone through an awful lot of different rewrites and such because we were trying to find the right story to bring to a secular audience on Broadway.
Mm.
You know, this is not for, I'm not preaching to the choir here. You know, we tell her story, warts and all, because if there is no sin, there's no redemption. And all of history is written one human story at a time. And I don't know about yours, but mine is pretty sin-filled, and yours is really sin-filled.
Really? Really? That's where we're going to go? Unbelievable. You know, at least I know how to hang on to a puppy, okay?
Oh, I felt so awful. That puppy was terrified Hoda was going to adopt it. That's why it leaped out of my arms.
Oh, my God. It's funny because I saw all the headlines, you know. Oh, Kathy Lee drops a puppy and all the headlines and everything. I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this must be a real bad thing. So I had a little watch and I thought, really? We're making that big of a deal?
Like, I know.
There's people from around the world.
There's problems in the world today.
Exactly. There's people from other countries posting. They're posting notes. They're saying, really? You guys are wound up about this? What is wrong with Americans? Anyway.
I know. I'm the one that loves animals. Did you see Hoda's body language?
Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with that canine. it did smell a little. It did smell, I got to be honest.
Really? Okay. Well, I thought that might have been Hoda again, but maybe not.
No, there's
what? Listen.
And then there's Mongrel.
I want to ask this question, and maybe our listeners will know this. What does John Wayne, Charlie Chaplin, and Marilyn Monroe all have in common? Anybody know the answer? Kathy Lee, do you know the answer? What's that?
Yes, and Anthony Quinn. Anthony Quinn, yeah. It's Amy. She baptized Marilyn Monroe as an infant because Norma Jean Baker's grandmother was a big follower of Amy's, and then she gave John Wayne his first acting job at the Temple. Anthony Quinn used to play saxophone in the orchestra. Charlie Chaplin, an avowed atheist, adored Amy and actually became a good friend of hers and helped design sets when she'd put on her big pageants and things. So she's just, yeah, William Randolph Hearst, we have all of that in our show. You know, it's really a story about Drew. It could be ripped from the headlines today. A woman who started out on a sincere path of faith.
Mm.
I mean, the first act is just chock full of what she did as a pioneer when no woman did anything like it at the time, long before we had the vote. She did it as a single mother of two with her mother traveling around the car in the country and putting up tents and going into brothels, going into bars where no nice lady would go. You'd find me there on any given time, that's for sure. But you know what I mean. And then the second act is when she opens up her temple in Los Angeles and we see her become seduced by the very world she went to save.
But I got to ask you, I'm like, Kathy Lee, I mean, you know, there's no question, or is there a question? Maybe I'm wrong, but there's no question, I think, that Amy Semple McPherson, not McPherson, McPherson, the controversy followed her for a reason. Do you not think? I mean, did she not get herself into hot water? And do you not say, well, hold on, then she should have stepped down from ministry, right? Do you not see that or no?
You know what? The truth is, we'll probably never know the truth of what really happened to her because everyone's gone.
Right.
Unless we... Oh, there is something in our show that found through the Freedom of Information Act when somebody sued to have the FBI files of J. Edgar Hoover opened in terms of how he was dealing with William Randolph Hearst. So part of our show we discovered through that, which is new. But as far as where Amy was those 5 weeks when she disappeared, all I know is that, you know, hers was the only story that never changed through the entire trial. Everybody else's testimony was discounted. Hmm. And the main piece of evidence, which was a grocery list found in this bungalow in Carmel, was flushed down the toilet accidentally, we don't know, by one of the jurors. You know, if this is the day, if DNA had been available at the time, we would have known instantly where she was and what she'd been doing. But there was no such thing as at the time. And so there was only hearsay and bad eyewitnesses. So at the end, all charges were dropped. But here's the essence of it. To me, it really doesn't matter where she was. To me, the point is she let go of the hand of God, got off her path, got off her purpose. And that's what she had to come back to God to find again. And so, and we're all like that. Drew, you and I have been very honest about your journey these last couple of years and stuff. Hmm. It's all about when we drop the hand of God, why are we surprised when we get all freaked out and things stop going? God says if you do things according to His Word, He will bless us. He will bless if we obey. And we want the blessings without any of the obedience stuff. It's just so inconvenient.
Well, look, I really think there's another reason why you've been so hyper-focused on Amy Semple McPherson over the last 12 years. Well, longer, but you've been working on this music. Well, because you know how people like to track down old boyfriends on Facebook? I think this is really just a sad attempt to find and reconnect with Amy Semple McPherson's grandson, whom you dated.
When we get off the air, let me tell you what actually happened there, and you'll realize why that's the last thing on earth I want to do.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Of course, here's another reason why I can't understand that you're so hung up with this Amy Semple McPherson. You know, you're chastised, you're picked on, you're made fun of, Saturday Night Live, as far as, you know, you always have the wine. You've always got the wine. You always got the booze going, Kathy Lee. Have a listen to this. Have a listen. This is Amy Semple McPherson.
We came to Los Angeles for New York and the boat upon which we sail immediately. I was met en route by multitudes of our friends. Among them ever was a liberal sprinkling of newspaper men. And in each city, they asked the same question. Sister McPherson, what do you think of prohibition? It was rather difficult to answer the question in such a few words as one must use then. But I told them that the case of our prohibition here in the United States reminds me of the story of the lecturer who gave a marvelous address on prohibition. And he wound up in a blaze of glory that brought everyone to their feet enthusiastically. Why, he said, my friends, if I had my way, do you know what I'd do? I'd take every barrel of liquor, every bottle of booze, every crate, and I'd empty it in the river. Yes, sir. Then he said, shall we now close our meeting by rising and singing together, shall we gather?
Shall we gather at the river? I remember that clip. She was a character. Oh, my gosh. The hardest part of writing this was the stuff I had to leave out about Amy. So if people think they know Amy just as tabloid Amy, they don't know her at all, which is, you know, as if they think they know me from, you know, what they see at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning all those years with Regis. They don't know me. Her life story is the most single fascinating story of anybody I've ever encountered in history.
Like, even more than mine, which is, you know, that's a feat in and of itself.
You are such an amateur compared to Amy.
Totally. All right, enough out of you, Tim. Listen, I want to thank you on air for being, like, you love everybody. You're a big mush bag. No, I didn't say flop bags. Those are different things. You're a big mush bag. Well, I've read her book. I know her book. I know what she talks about. Yes. But I have such an affection for you. And when I ask you how Frank is doing every time, you know what I mean, right?
Well, yeah, because you know, the guy could go at any minute, and you're waiting for me.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I am so enthralled by you, but here's why. Because you have been just so beautifully generous and nice and hospitable, I can't say the word, to me over the years. Having just been down in New York again, you welcomed us into the studio. I am absolutely soaking in sweat because it was one of the most humid days I've ever been a part of. And I step into the studio, and a minute before air, Kathy Lee Gifford says, "Put a mic on Drew." Why would you do such a thing? That was just, I couldn't believe you did that, Kathy Lee.
I love you, buddy. I love you, and I believe in you, and I think you've been called to a great purpose. You're one of the great communicators. I talk to people all the time. You're really gifted. And God still, as long as you got a pulse, buddy, God still has a purpose for you. And I cherish our friendship.
Well, I do as well. Thank you very, very much for all that you do. And folks, you know what? I should probably just organize a tour from Canada. You know, a bus tour down to New York.
Please do. Well, I'll greet everybody. And who knows? We might go next door for a little sip of something, as my dad used to say.
Sounds good. The website you want to go to is scandalousbroadway.com. Scandalousonbroadway.com. That's where you're going to find out and get the tickets. Kathy Lee, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day.
Love you, Drew. God bless, hon.
You too. Okay, bye-bye. Kathy Lee Gifford on The Drew Marshall Show. We had a sudden change in programming notes there. She was going to be on a little bit later, but they called for another rehearsal because she was fine-tuning some things last night, and everybody got together. And, boy, this is going to be a fantastic. It's at the Neil Simon Theater. Or as Kathy Lee one time said during a press conference, the Neil Seaman Theater. Which is just a totally different, that's a different theater.
It's a hard thing to say.
That's where Pee Wee Herman used to hang out.
Oh.
ScandalousOnBroadway.com. Make the trip down to New York. It is beautiful this time of the year. It's going to be coming up very soon, this production. It is a fascinating city to go to. Lots of great hotel deals. Go to Hotwire.com if you want to. They're not paying me to say that, but you can get some great deals there. And you will thoroughly enjoy this musical. Especially for all of our listeners in New York. You have no excuse. Go to this thing. Tremendous production. I saw it when it was sort of, well, I don't know whether this is fair to say, amateurish. It was not amateurish, but it was sort of a...
Off-Broadway, not
yes,
on Broadway.
Yes, exactly. Yet. And I was still blown away by it.
Really?
So I don't know what they've done to it now, but this is going to be fantastic.
Whether you're in your smart car avoiding Hummers or you're in your house avoiding the J-Dubs, there's no avoiding us, The Drew Marshall Show, live through our website and right here on Joy 1250.
10 years ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, the Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.